Let's turn in our Bibles today to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. I want to talk to you today about the difference in having light in your life and darkness in your life, because there are both possibilities. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about light and darkness. And we're gonna talk about the, you know, there's a physical application to that. If you didn't have light today, not one of you could see anything in front of you. But let's read this first of all, and then we're going to pray. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let's pray. Father, we need you today. We desperately need light, God, the light that only you can give. And I pray today that every person here will experience, Lord, the windows of heaven opening into their souls, into their hearts. God, we will see, Lord, like when light comes on, we will see new things that we need to see today. Give us the right heart. And Holy Spirit, I pray for your direct dealing today, that these wouldn't just be words of men, but you would speak your heart to us. Change us, mold us, shape us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, have you ever been to one of those restaurants that's really dark? And they lead you around to some little corner, and you get that menu. And after you place your order, you hope you ordered what you thought you ordered. And so you, but then after a little while, you're sitting there, and then it doesn't seem as dark anymore. It's like you get used to it. And so, you know, you sit there and you visit, and the food comes and whatever, and pretty soon you're not even aware anymore that that was a dark place. But in reality, it's still a dark place. It's just that you got used to it. You quit realizing that you were sitting there in that dark place. See, darkness all through the Bible is not a good thing. Darkness is, it's not God. You know, heaven's going to be full of light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I was thinking even that scripture. The Bible says that when people go to hell, they are going to be cast into outer darkness, right? So hell is dark. You say, how can it be fire and dark? I don't know, but the Bible says both, right? It's dark. It's something, darkness. The Bible talks about a darkness that is so intense that people will chew and grind their teeth, that eats at you. See, darkness is more than just a visual thing. It's a spiritual thing. You know, it's a curiosity to me. All through, I don't like being in the dark. I don't like dark places. I enjoy, you know, whenever we built houses or something, you get some of those inward rooms. And I like, how many like windows in the house? I like to be able to open the window and let the light in. And we've had a few where they put skylights in and different things to get light in those places. A few years back, there was a big movement, especially in charismatic churches, mega churches, everything went dark. Inside the churches were painted dark. Robin and I visited a number of years ago a mega church in Phoenix, and when we went into the place, it was seriously so dark, I couldn't find my seat. I was worried about tripping, and you know, so people would say, well, it's just aesthetics, it does this, it does that. I don't know about that. It's bothersome to me. It's troublesome to me when churches started looking like bars. Are you with me? It's troublesome to me. We don't need, you know, I get it. Maybe you don't want so that it glares and hurts your eyeballs, but there's got to be a balance. I'm not here today. I can just to pick apart, but I'm just telling you, Christians should like light. There's something in us that should like light. And so the Bible says that the eye, both naturally and spiritually, the purpose of your eye is it's to bring light into our brain and into our body. It's the purpose of the eye. What do eyes take in? They don't breathe for you, right? But they take in light. They process into the body and ultimately into the brain light. Matthew 6:22 says, puts it this way, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. And when your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. So the eyes either, and he's dealing there, it's true in a practical sense, okay, even in a natural sense, according to your physical eye, I was looking at that and kind of how the eye works. But light controls accurate vision, even here, today. No light equals poor or no vision, even in the natural. No light, if I put you in a totally dark place, you can't see anything, right? Have you ever been in a cave underground? I mean, there's dark, and then there's dark, right? And I came across it. It says photoreceptor cells in your eyes convert light energy into electrical signals, which are sent through the optic nerve to the brain, where the image is actually perceived. This process happens in real time, allowing for constant and accurate visual processing of the world. We think computers are fast. Your eyeballs are faster than computers. Ever heard of travel as the speed of light? So, just like in the human body, if light is not there, you begin to stumble around. If light is not there, you begin to experience. Just last week or something, I went and one day I was wearing my contacts and I don't know whether I got something in. I started getting these little floaters and spots and it, you know, you don't like it. You don't like it when you can't. Have you ever got something in your eye? Got your eye right? You couldn't see right and it bugged you. And so light is so important to make your life what it should be and to make it work right. It's not that you can't do without it, but it's God designed the human body to receive light. And when light is reduced, guess what? We stop seeing accurately and we begin to make mistakes. How many have ever bumped into something? Get up in the middle of the night. We have this bed, I think we finally got rid of that thing, but we inherited it from somebody in the family. And it looked nice, but it had where these corners just kind of stick out with a little ball or decorative thing on them. I hated that bed because it was just so that when you walked around the corner, it just killed your ankles. And it was like you begin, see, when you don't have proper light, you make mistakes. How many struggle a little bit at night because there's less light? And you say, well, my night vision is not so good. Now, why is it? It's because you have less light at night. And so that you begin to make mistakes. Now, let's move that over to the spiritual. When people who do not have proper spiritual light inside of them, they begin to stumble. They get off. They begin to do things. You think, how do I think right? You have a lot of light in your spirit. How do I understand how to raise my kids? You need light in your spirit. Have you ever met people and they just, the other day I was talking to somebody and then somebody else came in and in this conversation, the one person that came in was absolutely insensitive to that conversation and to what was going on there. And, you know, some things can't be spelled out. They come from having inward light. Discernment comes from an inward light. Picking up on things spiritually. Do you see spiritual things accurately is a question for all of us today. Do you see spiritual things accurately? See, there's a problem when we get comfortable in the darkness. And, of course, the world, you expect that to happen, right? But as Christians can also get comfortable with darkness. And it happens little bits at a time. See, it seems like we can still see, and here's the danger, but we really can't. We're off. Matthew 6:22 says, the eye, again, is the lamp of the body. And when that lamp starts getting, you begin to get off. And it says, if then, now watch this, but if your eye is unsound, your whole body, your whole spiritual man becomes unsound and full of darkness. And if then, the very light in you, or in the Amplified Bible says, your conscience is darkened, how dense is that darkness? In other words, the light in you becomes darkness. You think it's light, but it's darkness. And now you're in a really bad place spiritually. The light, when darkness becomes light to us, we think we're enlightened. You know, a lot of the world's that way. I'm enlightened, really? Then how come this is going on? How come that? You know what? We say America is a Christian nation. Well, it might be in theory, but if America is a Christian nation, then how come there's so much darkness in this nation? Are you with me? So I'm not saying that it wasn't started that way, but I'm telling you that when there's darkness inside, he says when the light in you becomes darkness and you don't even realize it, and pretty soon your conscience is off. And he said, how dark, when the light becomes dark, how dark is that darkness within you? See, darkness, even at the end of every day, is subtle. It's gradual. And in Christians' lives and even in the world, even in nations, we darken a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. We don't realize it. We're a little darker. We're a little darker. I want you to consider, here's a very strong biblical example of this, and it says in Luke 17:28, and the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking and buying and selling and farming and building, until the morning that Lot left Sodom. The fire and the burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it will be business as usual right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. They didn't realize when that happened that it was getting dark. They didn't realize the danger. But here's what I want to even consider. Lot didn't realize it. See, Lot was Abraham's nephew. He knew about the God of Abraham. He had light. As long as he hung with a man that had light, he had some light. But he moves into Sodom and Gomorrah, and the indication is that he was probably, possibly even the mayor. He was a leader. He sat in the gates of the city where the leadership sat. And so when he first went into Sodom, he was probably shocked. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah were shocking. They wanted to rape angels. When the angels went to warn, they wanted to rape angels. It was very dark in that place. But when he first went there, he probably told his daughters, don't look at that. Stay away from that. But then over time, darkness, we begin accepting of things. I can tell you right now that we are much more accepting today in America of things than 50 years ago. Shockingly. I read some of the old people, older authors, and they're talking about how the devastation of what they were experiencing back in the early 1900s, I thought, my goodness, they have no idea. They have no idea. But what's happened, and here's the danger, even as Christians, we become comfortable with darkness. It ought to unsettle us. It should never, darkness should remain darkness. And the contrast comes when you've got light. But the less light, the less contrast. Are you with me? The less light, the less contrast. So Lot gets used to it. His family gets used to it. He gets sucked up into it. His wife is totally into it. His daughters are into it. the son-in-laws, the men that were going to marry his daughters, they just think he's crazy. You know what? But he wasn't crazy. He had enough little bit of light. But what I want you to see is the danger of darkness is it comes a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. It's a slow fade. And then Lot lost everything. He fled. He saved his own body. His wife died because at some point the darkness owns you. At some point, God told her, don't look back. She could not stop herself because the darkness said, look back. And she looked back. And so she turns into a pillar of salt. His daughters go with him. But you know what? He got them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he didn't get Sodom and Gomorrah out of them. And a short time later, they get him drunk. They have an incestuous relationship with him. There are children born that created problems from then on out. Darkness. The more time that we spend in darkness, the more used to it we become. We become desensitized. Once it was shocking. Crime that was shocking is no longer shocking. Brutality. Pornography. It's so prevalent today, more than ever before. And it's like it doesn't even faze people. Nakedness. We rephrase everything now to make it less shocking, to pull us away from the truth. The cheating and the lying. I mean, it's shocking. Even in our government, it's just so okay. What's going on in Minnesota, it's okay. These people come in, they take billions and billions of American dollars and through fraud, and it's like people are fighting for their right to do that. It doesn't make any sense to you? I'm glad I don't live in Minnesota. If you're from Minnesota, I'm sorry. I apologize, but not too much. How many are with me? It's like America's fighting for what's wrong. You know, no matter what, you know what? If a law is a law, it's a law. If you're illegal or legal, it's a law. There are certain laws that need to be enforced. What happens is we get comfortable. We get comfortable with strife. We get comfortable with fighting in our home. And let me just tell you one of the things the devil's used. You have to get your own convictions about this. But I'm telling you that TV desensitizes you to many things. It desensitizes you. And you sit there hour after hour. If you're raising kids, maybe you ought to consider about not having it. That's your decision. But if you do, you need to understand that through that little box can come all kinds of things. And it's not just one little thing. It's a little step at a time. It's things that you accept. It's not even just things that you might, it's just foolishness when we could do better things with that time. So, darkness comes one step at a time. Now, Jesus, you say, how do I get rid of darkness? Because when I hear this, I don't want that. Do you not, how many can say, I don't want darkness in my life? How do we get light? First of all, we're not self-lighting. We're like those little things that my wife puts every place. And, those little flower bed things. And they glow in the dark. They only glow according to how long they've been in the sun, right? The longer they stay out of the sun, the darker they get. I hate to tell you, that's exactly how you are. If you do not stay in the light, you begin to dim. You do not produce light. Jesus, in John 8:12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. How many want the light of life today? Jesus is the light. So there's no way to get it. You will not get light. See, people have thought down, I can have this intellectual light. No, you don't. Facts are not light. Are you with me? And so we're talking about something that is great. You know, God is not only smart, he not only has all the facts, he has wisdom and knowledge. He has things that only he can bring. And so Jesus said, I am the light. And the only way that for human beings to get light and to be right and have right spiritual perception is to get close to Jesus. That's the only way. Jesus alone illuminates our inner man. This church cannot give you light. We can give you Jesus, and he can give you light. We can tell you about him. See, it's amazing what happens. The Pharisees in Jesus' time had all the religion, right? They had laws. They had big fancy buildings and all different stuff. But when light comes, it works something that none of religion cannot change. I was thinking about Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus is a crooked little tax collector. And all that's true. He was little and he was crooked. And he climbed up in a tree. And he was attracted. You know, when you've lived your life in darkness, I think there's some place where you say, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of darkness. So Zacchaeus gets up, couldn't see right. So now watch this. In Luke 19:6, and Zacchaeus quickly climbed down. So Jesus comes, says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. Now I want you to watch what happened instantly in Zacchaeus. You know how to reform people? Get the light of God on them. And Zacchaeus quickly climbed down, and he took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Well, first of all, he wasn't a sinner anymore because he got saved. And it says, meanwhile, Zacchaeus, now watch what happens. This is so supernatural. All he did was get around Jesus, and everything changed. His whole thought process has changed. It says, and Zacchaeus stood before the Lord, and he said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Now, if 1 hour before you had tried to make Zacchaeus see the light about his wicked ways, you couldn't have done it. He would have argued, and he would have said, well, they ripped me off, so I ripped out. He'd have gone through 10 things, and instantly, as soon as the light comes, this man is changed. Can I tell you, light changes you. Zacchaeus saw something. He saw, you know what? I've been a cheat. I don't want to be a cheat anymore. So right there, he comes clean. See, light makes you come clean. See, the more time you spend with Jesus, the more light that you will have in you. He says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more time that you give in prayer, the more time you get those hands up. You know, I think about Paul and Silas in that jail cell, and it's at night, it's dark. But I'm telling you, light came in that place, because when you worship God, light begins to come. You say, how does that happen? I don't know. I just know that when I can be in such a dark place in my mind, I can be dark looking at things around me and be depressed, but when I get my hands up, I begin to worship, God begins to filter light into my inner man again. The more you spend with Jesus, that's how the light comes. When you come to church, how many times have I come to church and I said, you know what, I just want to preach and go home. I tell her, I'm just going to preach and go home. I'm having a hard time now. And then I come to church, and the light comes, and all of a sudden something stirs in you, and you just it light changes you. So you cannot fake inward truth or light that comes only from Jesus. You can't fake it. Jesus said, I'm the light. So I'm sorry, no church can give you light. The Methodists, the Episcopalians, the VWOs, Assemblies of God, Baptists, doesn't matter. Nope, but Jesus can give you light. Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the boldness and unfettered eloquence of Peter and John, talking about the religious people, and they perceived that they were unlearned and untrained in the schools, common men with no educational advantages, they marveled. And they recognized that he's been with Jesus. You know what they recognize? He glowed, they glow. Something about them is just like Jesus. You know, Jesus had a light about him. He could explain things. He could touch. How many want that? That's a sign that there's light in a person where they can touch people. The light of Jesus radiated from these men. See, we're not only called to have light in ourselves, but we are called to bring light to everybody that we come in contact with. Tomorrow, here's the question. Are you going to bring light to a dark world? Do you have enough light in you to bring light to a dark world? See, God does not call us to mix in or to compromise. He says, be a light. Be something that is striking. Vance Havner said this. He says, we seek to be all things to all men, to please all. We run, listen to this, we run with the hare and we hunt with the hounds. We run with the rabbit and we hunt with the hounds. We are compromisers. We play both sides of things. We become the victims of forbidden compromise. There is nothing distinctive about our character. We are not here, watch this, we are not here to learn how to live in the dark, but to walk in the light. We are not here to get along with evil, but to overcome it with good. You are called to be a light. You are not called to make people happy. You are not called to mix in and to be politically correct in everything you do. You're called to be light. Light is shocking sometimes. Light is exposing sometimes. Light can make people uncomfortable, but it can also make them stop tripping and falling. You know, all of this corruption that's gone on, what's happened is people have begun to shine light on the financial corruption. That Nick, whatever his name is, he goes up to these places and they've been getting millions of dollars for daycare centers. There's no kids there. There's no cars there. And so he begins to shine light on these things. And all of a sudden, guess what? It makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Well, who are you? Well, what's going on here? Well, let me tell you, you're not going to get away from Jesus' light one day. But see, what happens is we're not called. We're not called to just please everybody. We're called to be a light. And if it unsettles the people, so be it. We're not called to rephrase and make it sound nice for everybody. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Be a Christian wholesale. Be a light. Stand for what is truth. So we need that image, but the world needs light bearers. The world needs people that even if it shocks them, even if it makes them mad, in the end, it's going to heal them. So let's end today with how do we keep the light bright in us? Because I will say today, there's not one of us that can't go dim. There's not one of us that can't begin to darken. So I'm going to give you some things. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet, and a light for my path. Very simple. One of the ways you keep light in your life is you read your Bible with a hunger, not out of a legalistic thing. You just begin to read it, and as you read it, you're hungry. And guess what? All of a sudden, it begins to light you up. It begins to make your path clear. You go through the day, and you begin to have thoughts that no matter what somebody on the job is saying, you have a truth that's above that. You see light. So when you read your Bible, you hear me talk so much. Every person, church, every person needs a plan to read your Bible. If you have no plan, you won't. Read a chapter in the Old Testament. Read a chapter in the New Testament. And read a chapter in Psalm. Just write it down on a piece of paper. And every day, just go Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3. And if you don't get it all in one day, just pick it up the next day and go at it again. Amen? Don't let condemnation set in. Go at it. And you say, well, I don't know what good this is. It's putting light in you. It's putting light in you. And all of a sudden, you're going to get someplace, and you're going to have light when the rest of the world is in darkness. You're going to see things happen. See, Christians understand things that others don't if they're in the Word of God. It's that simple. Let the Word illuminate your path. I can guarantee you that if you are not reading your Bible, you're slowly darkening. You're slowly darkening. The second thing is, don't excuse or soften when God deals with you about sin, because sin is darkness. And when you allow it, when you make excuse, you leave that little place of darkness. You know, when they take a picture, a CAT scan or a PET scan for cancer, they say, I see a dark spot. And nobody likes to hear that, right? Nobody wants to go and say, I hope they find a dark spot in me today. No, we don't like that. But you know, if they can get that dark spot taken care of right away, it's going to be a whole lot better. So when God deals, see, a lot of times today, people want to hide sin. They feel attacked or vulnerable. You know, the Bible says in Romans 7:13, but in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good. So the law said this is sin, and then it pointed it out in us, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. Church, here's something that will help you from becoming dark. Let your sin become utterly sinful to you. Don't rename it. We come up with new names. The Bible calls alcoholism, it calls it drunkenness. It says drunkards will not inherit the kingdom, but we call it a disease, or we call it something else. We call it gay or same-sex marriage. The Bible calls it sodomy. I mean, what we do, we rephrase everything so sin's not so sinful. We don't like that sinful stuff. We don't like calling it what it is because it's like all the barriers are down off of that. Don't compare. When God deals with you, let the conviction of the Holy Spirit cut in and do what needs to be done. See, when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says He's going to convict you at times. That's not a bad sign. People that never get convicted worry me, right? Because I know people, because I'm a people, right? So John 16:8 says, and when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. What does the Holy Spirit do? He convicts us of sin. He convicts the world, but guess what? He also convicts the Christian. He's what keeps you on track. When you get saved, you know what? Sometimes you get off after you get saved. How are you going to stay on track? The light of the Holy Spirit. He begins to convict you. So when you deal with that, and we don't rephrase it, we don't make excuses about that. See, the Bible says you can grieve the Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. So when you do something and it's wrong, when you lust or you talk ugly to somebody or you, whatever it is, and it's wrong, and the Holy Spirit comes, and you maintain that, and you blow it off, and you won't deal with that. The Bible says you grieve the Holy Spirit. Hurts Him. Hurts the Holy Spirit. And He goes on, He says, remember, He has identified you as His own. The Holy Spirit says, you're mine. This don't belong in your life. See, well, how dare He? Well, He owns you. He's got the right. When we get saved, guess what? We give our lives to God. And so He points out things. He says, remember that He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. See, we want Him to identify us on the day of redemption, don't we? But do you want Him to identify you right now and say, this can't stay? You can't be fornicating. You can't be sleeping around. You can't be doing this or that or the other. And God begins to deal. Because He owns you, He has that right. He deals with it. And He goes on in verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You know, if you're going to deal with things in your life, I realize and I know for a fact you cannot do it on your own. You can't. But God needs you to also take a stand with that thing. Let me tell you, you say, what's taking a stand? You say, I'm done with this. I'm tired. See, it's like, you know, if you're saying, God, deliver me of cigarettes, but I'm going to keep these just in case. You're not done with it. Because when you're done with it, you'll flush those things, and you say, now, God, when the nicotine fit comes, you're just going to have to help me get through this and deal with this. Are you with me? There's something in you that has to rise up, and it doesn't mean it's just willpower, but you got to make up. You know, when you got saved, it's because you one day said, I am sick of this. I'm getting saved. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I am done playing games with those old things. And so we have to, if you're going to keep light in your life, don't excuse or soften sin. Don't mix darkness in until it seems like light. The third thing is this. If you're going to keep light in your life, Don't fellowship with darkness. This comes down to our relationships with people and also media as well, but especially people. You know, the Bible says bad company corrupts good habits. So when you hang with people that are questionable, when I'm not talking about giving a tract to somebody or witnessing, but when you hang, I don't care if they're family, I don't care that when you hang with people that have no, they're not leaving darkness, they love darkness. And you hang with them. You say, well, they're my family. Well, I'm not going to hell with my family. I don't know about you. Are you with me? I know I'm just kind of chopping some wood today. It'll help you, right? It'll help you to get to where your life is full of light. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? You could say, how can light be a part with darkness? How can, there it goes, how can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? He says, when you hang and you're comfortable with people that are not repentant, they're not, he says, it's like asking Jesus to hang out with the devil. He says, how can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will live in them, and I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, here's his answer to all of this. Come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. So you have to sort that out. There are things, you know what? Let your home be a place where there's righteousness. Don't, people that, I'm just telling you, they will take your light when you hang with them in fellowship. Here's the next thing. If you want, it works in both directions. If you want to stay full of light, gather often with the body of Christ. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider and give attentive continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up or stimulate and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting the assembly or church together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. So another way to keep light is get around people that have light. Get with people of light. Then they're not. Body of Christ. That's why we get together. That's why we come to church. That's why we gather with people that are serving the Lord. So don't neglect. That's why he says it. That's not just a legalistic thing. You know, when he gets to heaven, he says, did they go Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Tuesday night prayer? Okay, they're in. Or they're out. No, he doesn't do that. But those things are valuable. Church is valuable. You know what? We have some really good Wednesday nights. I know Wednesday nights, Sunday nights have disappeared altogether pretty much in the United States. But Wednesday nights, we still got good, solid Wednesday night sermons and services. We have worship. We have preaching. We have prayer. And you can come, and you know what? What's an hour on a Wednesday night? We come in, it's good. It's good stuff. I grew up in those evening services. And you know what's funny? As I grew up, I went to that little church there in Dolores. I don't ever remember worrying about how many people were in church or not in church. I couldn't tell you what the attendance was. All I know is we went to church. I remember the presence of God. I remember good, godly men and women that I revered and admired, that had a place, took a part in my life. And in that little church, I tell you what, I found life in that place. So gather around people of light. The next one is found in John 8:12, and he says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Simply put, every day, you got to follow after Jesus. You can't just do it on Sundays, right? You can't just do it here and there. Don't let a day. Jim Simley came out with a little devotional this year. It's called Jesus Every Day. I like that. How many want Jesus every day? So every day, you got to follow after Jesus. Whether that's by praying, he says, whoever follows me will never means never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I love that. Follow after Jesus. Pray. Ephesians 1:17 says, Paul says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. The Amplified Bible says flooded with light. I believe that's a good prayer. Paul prayed. He said, I pray, and I guarantee if he was praying it for the church in Ephesus, he was praying it for himself. What if you got it every day and you took time, you say, Lord, flood me with light. Flood my heart with the light of heaven. That the eyes of my heart would be flooded with light. And you know what will happen? You don't get the darkness out. You overcome it with the light. You don't go into a dark room and say, I'm going to suck all the dark out of here. No, you take light in that room. And the more light, the less dark. Are you with me? So you just go, and if you're feeling dark, we all hit times of darkness. The Apostle Paul said at one point, he said, I felt like I was going to die. I felt like I wasn't going to make it. But he got light back in there. He worshiped God. I tell you, worship is very powerful when you're struggling with darkness. Get those hands up. You don't feel like, the time to go to church is when you don't feel like going to church. Amen? The time when you think, well, you know, I could just stay home, or that's when you need to go, because it's the devil's fighting you. Get around some people that have light in them. And you know what? We can be people. I pray that every person here today, if we go out this week, that it just be light. And people around the job say, there's something different. Those people hurt my eyes. They're so bright. They got something in them. People will sense it in your spirit. You know what's amazing? I've watched over the years, and many times, even before I know, I can get around somebody that knows Jesus, and you see light attracts light. Else, you know what? Say, I haven't talked to them yet. They're saved. I can tell you they're saved. There's something in their spirit that is full of light. How many want that light? And you know what? Your family, your kids will say, Mom and Dad were full of light. You're, it'll make such a difference in the world that you live. Let's bow our heads.